I have not seen the righteous forsaken. Welcome back to the Hackberry House, a daily podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church. My name is Bob. This is podcast number 151. It is May 10, 2015. Today, how the righteous fare in many lands of our day. We'll go to Nigeria first. These are ICC reports, International Christian Concern. From Potiskum, Nigeria, actually reported by the BBC, two militants have attacked a business college in Potiskum in the northeastern Nigerian state of Yobe. At least six students were seriously injured by gunfire, but dozens more were hurt as they tried to escape. The gunman was accompanied by a suicide bomber who blew himself up in the car park. No one so far has said they were behind the attack, but the Islamist militant group Boko Haram has carried out similar raids in the town. The name Boko Haram, loosely translated from the region's Hausa language, means Western education is forbidden. Of course, they think that Western education includes Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, that's not true, is it? In Syria, reported by WWM, danger levels rose sharply in late April for northeast Syria's isolated Assyrian Christians, caught for nearly 3 months now between Kurdish militias and Syrian army forces battling with militants of the self-proclaimed Islamic State for control of Hasaka province. "We're going through a terrible moment," Syriac Archbishop Jacques Benan Hindo told Fides News April 30th. "The jihadists of the Islamic State attacked Hasaka for 2 days. They were warded off by the Syrian army and Kurdish militias, but we are cut off, like an island surrounded by jihadists from all sides. Some 1,000 Assyrian families have been forced out of their village homes along the Khabur River by the Islamic State in late February, sending them into exile in Kamishli and Hasaka City. In addition, 242 Assyrian Christians captured during the attacks are still being held incommunicado, reportedly at Al-Shadadi, an IS stronghold bombed last week by the Syrian army. Church officials have identified all 93 women, 51 children, and 98 men taken captive. But after 2 months of behind-the-scenes negotiations through local intermediaries, church attempts to gain the release of the hostages were rebuffed by their IS captors. According to Australia's Mar Melis of the Assyrian Church of the East, who spoke to Newsweek on May 1st, the IS jihadists demanded a ransom of $23 million U.S., or about $100,000 a year per person. $100,000 per person, to release their Khabur captives. The militants reportedly described the ransom as the jizya, a payment that's required under Islamic law for non-Muslims who refuse to convert to Islam. In response, an Assyrian church leader told World Watch Monitor, WWM, "This is an amount beyond the capacity of a tiny church and community. These captives are poor people who depended on their low income as farmers." The church's counteroffer, which the cleric said was a reasonable amount that the families can afford, was rejected, leaving negotiations at a standstill. In Egypt, by the Christian Post, police in Egypt recently arrested five Coptic Christian children after angry Muslim mobs accused them of blasphemy for being featured in a circulated prayer video with their Coptic teacher that showed them making fun of the Islamic State terrorist organization. In a report published Tuesday by Fox News on how Christians have become the target of Muslim extremists in the Minya Governate in northern Egypt, it was reported that Muslim mobs in the village of Nasreya in Minya gathered around the residences of five Christian students and chanted that they had insulted Islam. The angry Muslims claimed that the students and their Coptic teacher were guilty of blasphemy, which is a crime in Egypt, because their video mocked ISIS, a barbaric Islamic terrorist group that has claimed chunks of territory in Iraq and Syria and also has affiliate groups located in Egypt and Libya. As the teacher was arrested and questioned by police over a four-day period, the mobs threw rocks at the homes of the students and demanded that their parents turn over the children to the local policing authority. Minat Abay, a Coptic activist, said that the children and teacher still remain in police detention, as well as other Christians who have been victimized by Muslim attacks and accusations. "We have five Coptic Christian children charged with blasphemy and insulting Islam," Thabe explained. "We still have other open cases where Christians are charged with inciting violence as if they were the perpetrators, but where they were actually the victims." Todd Daniels, Middle East Regional Manager for ICC, told the Christian Post on Wednesday that due to the corrupt nature of Egypt's judicial system, the children could be sentenced to overly long prison sentences. Excuse me. "The case of the five arrested in Minya and charged with blasphemy represents yet another case of how Egypt continues to bend to the weight of extremist ideology," Daniels wrote in an email. "A video, not even shared publicly, that mocked ISIS, a group that openly beheaded 20 Egyptian citizens, has already put these five in prison and may lead to lengthy prison sentences. Despite progress in terms of rhetoric from Egypt President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi, Egypt has pervasive persecution that continues to occur not only on the societal level, but also in the judiciary." And then in Pakistan, this is from Voice of the Martyrs. "After evangelizing Muslims and baptizing a former Islamic religious leader, a Pakistani pastor is receiving death threats from radical Islamists, even through his cell phone. Azhar, who became a pastor at a village church more than 20 years ago in Pakistan, regularly shares the gospel with his Muslim neighbors and has baptized a number of Muslim background believers, including a former imam known as Rashid. Trouble started after Rashid stopped attending the local mosque. Members tried to convince him to return to Islam, but he wouldn't. His Muslim relatives labeled him as an apostate, a traitor to the faith. They issued death threats against Rashid, along with his wife and children who also became believers. After Rashid and his family fled the area, his relatives turned against Pastor Azhar. The pastor was told to return Rashid to them or face death. The threats continued to escalate. Several months later, the relatives sought revenge. They found Pastor Azhar's son and severely beat him. The relatives also informed fundamentalist groups of the pastor's activities. He is now constantly monitored by the fundamentalists' widespread network. Like Rashid, Pastor Azhar had no choice but to flee the village to protect his family. VOM helped him to relocate to a safer area." Though the pastor has changed cell phones numbers on numerous occasions, he still receives death threats. "It's not certain how the Islamists continue to find his phone number. Pastor Azhar has relocated, but the threats have not discouraged his desire to minister to others. He continues to share the gospel with Muslims and encourages Muslim background believers in their faith." On Easter Sunday, 200 people, including 70 children, participated in an Easter program at Pastor Azhar's church. Five people were baptized during the service, and many outsiders are now attracted to Christianity. Days after, Muslim extremists visited Pastor Azhar's home, threatening his wife and daughter. The following Sunday, due to fear and intimidation from area Muslims, only 10 people attended church services. Pastor Azhar said he and others are visiting the homes of those who haven't attended to continue ministering to them. "The continued persecution from area Muslims has not shaken Pastor Azhar's spirit. Thanks to God that he is still using us for his kingdom," he said. Can we move to the United States? back to ICC reporting, actually from the Christian News Network, CNN. A federal judge in North Carolina has ruled that commissioners in one local county can't present prayers only in Jesus' name, even if they all are Christians, because doing so isn't non-discriminatory toward other religions and elevates Christianity in government. As previously reported, the American Civil Liberties Union, ACLU, and ACLU of North Carolina Legal Foundation had filed suit against the Rowan County commissioners in March 2013, complaining that their invocations have asserted that there is only one way to salvation, and that is Jesus Christ. And they thank the Lord for the virgin birth or the cross at Calvary and the resurrection. Well, I want my local government to be open and welcoming to peoples of all beliefs. Nan Lund, a local resident who's among three plaintiffs named in the suit, stated in a news release announcing the legal challenge. But when officials begin a public meeting with prayers that are specific to only one religious viewpoint, I feel unwelcome and excluded. In July 2013, federal judge James A. Beattie, Jr., nominated to the bench by then-President Bill Clinton, sided with the ACLU and the three complainants, ordering the commissioners to end their Christian prayer practice while the case moves forward in court. Defendant Rowan County, North Carolina, is hereby enjoined from knowingly and or intentionally delivering or allowing to be delivered sectarian prayers at meetings of the Rowan County Board of Commissioners during the pendency of this suit, he wrote in his order. On Monday, Beattie issued his final decision, declaring the prayers predominantly in Jesus' name to be unconstitutional. That's the United States. Also in the U.S., this is from the Christian News Network, also reported by ICC. A Christian student in Florida has obtained legal assistance after her humanities professor gave her four zeros for refusing to conform to assignments that she believed to be anti-Christian indoctrination. Grace Lewis, 16, is a dual-enrolled student enrolled in a virtual school from home. She's been taking college courses from Polk State College since last fall. She has a 3.9 grade point average. However, Lewis recently was given four straight zeros in the humanities class by Professor Lance L.J. Russom for being unwilling to answer his assignments about Christianity in the way that he wanted, which she believed was antithetical to and hostile to the faith. The questions assigned are not open-minded questions, one of the assignments explained, and they instead are designed to lead course participants decisively to accept that Christianity is false and that it's oppressive of women. Other assignments ask students to outline Protestant reformer Martin Luther's work as a humanist, and other asserted that the sculptures and paintings of the Roman Catholic artist Michelangelo suggested that a same-sex relationship is not a sin and will not keep someone out of heaven. What you must write about, number one, Luther as a humanist, two, Luther's Reformation as political, three, how Luther embraces the peasants and then abandons them when it's difficult for him, one paper read, describe how his Reformation is a political act, one that expands humanism and draws us away from the myths that seek to punish unbelief, and so on. That story by Heather Clark. Stuff going on in our own country. Let's go back to Christian persecution in Africa. This is by Open Doors. An Open Doors field worker from Africa says this coming Mother's Day, she'll not only be thanking God for her own mother and praying for her, but she'll be thinking about and praying for the more than 200 mothers of the Chibok girls, whose anguish over the fate of their missing children continues to this day. Mother's Day, was started by Anna Jarvis in the early 1900s to honor her own mother's work as a peace activist and to honor mothers, the person who has done more for you than anyone in the world. Anna's intention for the special day was for people to appreciate and honor mothers by writing a personal letter by hand expressing love and gratitude. Today, Mother's Day has become an opportunity to honor our own mothers and to celebrate motherhood, maternal bonds, and the influence of mothers in society. On Mother's Day, I will be thanking my own mother for her sacrificial love towards me, and I will be thanking her for always being in my corner. She always sees the good in me, even at times I know it takes some hard looking. Always forgives me when I have sinned against her, always embraces my wild ideas, and always cheers me on. There's no one like my mother, and I love and appreciate her deeply. But as I thank the Lord for my own mother and pray that He will bless her and keep providing for her in all her spiritual and physical needs, I cannot help thinking of the more than 200 mothers of the Chibok girls who remain missing more than a year since their abduction on April 2014. The government has rescued hundreds of women and children from Boko Haram camps in the Sambisa forest, and for that we praise the Lord. But there's not been a sign of the Chibok girls, and it's their mothers that I'll also be thinking about on Sunday. For me to imagine what these mothers are going through is impossible. I don't know the anguish they are experiencing, the sleepless nights, the constant stress, the unceasing seesaw between hope and despair, the desire to want to know what has become of their daughters. Although I cannot fathom what they've been through, there is one that knows the depths of their suffering. Jesus is not unfamiliar with their pain. He's walked the dusty roads of this earth and willingly submitted himself to evil men and their evil systems. He too had a parent in God the Father who lost his child, his only beloved, in order to set me free. The counsels of God are far above the wisdom of human beings. I don't know what his purposes are for the Chibok girls and their parents, but he promised to not let our pain and anguish be fruitless and futile. Holding on to that promise, my prayer this Mother's Day is that he will visit these mothers and minister to them. My prayer for them is peace that surpasses all of their understanding and all of my understanding. I pray for supernatural peace that will enable them to say, I don't understand, but I trust. Oh Lord, how we need you to give us peace. We need you to still the storms in our hearts. Still the storms, Lord. Give our sisters in Nigeria the peace you have promised. And if it's your will, bring them back to their mothers. That was compiled by Jerry Dykstra at Open Doors USA. God bless you today. And don't forget what we began with. Psalm 37:25. I've never seen the righteous forsaken.